The scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter, starting in verse 26. If you'd like to follow along in one of the pew Bibles in front of you, that can be found on page 587. This is an excerpt from what we normally call the virtuous wife. Starting in verse 26, Proverbs 31. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates."
Thank you, Johan. You might keep your Bibles open to Proverbs chapter 31. We'll be looking at some passages there this morning. It's good to have many who are our guests this morning. We're thankful you've come to be with us and that on the Lord's Day you wanted to worship God. That speaks well of you. So I hope you will take your Bibles out and follow along as we study some things together. As most of you know, I've been away in Alabama for the last 10 days. My mother passed away last Saturday night, and we spent this last week trying to get all things taken care of in relation to that. And I thought about, what we usually say at times like that are right, about we appreciate all the cards and calls and expressions of sympathy. Really, you have to say now all the cards, calls, emails, texts, Facebook messages, because I receive so many of those from so many of you, which I dearly appreciate. And it is certainly comforting when people that you love are so supportive of you. And I've appreciated that very much. And so many of you looking after things while I've been gone have done gone far beyond what you normally do in order to take care of things that I would normally be doing while I was here. But in many ways, it was a good week. And family being able to be together, that's one of the great blessings at times like that. The family gets to be together, and we spent this last week taking care of matters that have to be taken care of at times like that. When both parents are now gone, my father passed away last December, just 6 months ago, and mother was not the same after that, and passed peacefully last Saturday evening. So thank you again for all you've done. I have, over the last week, obviously been thinking about mothers, and thought that we'd spend a little time this morning just with some thoughts I've put together that have come to my mind and some things I've been reading in relation to that maybe are fitting for us to reflect upon as God's people as we think about the role that God has given to those who are wives and mothers in homes and families. The institution of marriage is not something that's an idea of man. It is something that was established by God Himself in the very beginning. And it was His desire, it was His intent that children be raised in homes by a father and a mother seeking to follow the laws and ways of God and to try to instill that in their children. What is described in Proverbs chapter 31 is often spoken of as a worthy woman who can find, for a price is far above jewels or far above rubies. And the description there is such a powerful description of a woman who, though involved in so many things in life, so many pursuits, pursued them all with one goal in view, and that was to do that which was best for her family. That's what mattered the most to her, and that's what she centered upon. And so it is a beautiful picture as you look at that. So let me talk about that a little bit this morning, reflect upon it with some personal reflections and some illustrations that I've seen that I thought were very fitting. A teacher one day gave her pupils a lesson all about magnets. The next day she set a written test out, and it included the question, "My name has six letters beginning with the letter M, and I pick up things. What am I?" Half the students wrote "mother." Well, that's what mothers do, I guess. They pick up things. But obviously, they do so much more than that, than just picking up clothes and toys around the house. They do so many things. But they certainly have a higher calling than that. And that's what's being expressed in this beautiful passage in Proverbs 31. A good mother loves her family, provides an atmosphere where each member can feel acceptance, security, and understanding, and above all, unconditional love. Mothers, well, they're there when a child needs a listening ear, when they need a comforting word, when they need a hug, when they need a loving touch, when they need good advice. But the greatest joy a Christian mother has is to be able to teach her children about their Savior and Lord. Godly mothers not only bring their children up, they bring their children to God. That's what they do. And certainly that's the kind of mother that needs to be honored, that needs to be respected, that needs to be given the recognition that she deserves because of all that she does in her thoughtfulness, her loving deeds, and her commitment to family from that standpoint. In our text in Proverbs chapter 31, we see children and a father honoring their mother and their wife. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Is it any wonder that the fifth commandment that God gave in the Decalogue in the Old Testament was to honor your father and your mother? They are committed to children, or should be, to the raising of those children, and they are to be honored and respected, not because you're supposed to, but because you want to, because of who they are and what they are willing to do. I just want to suggest to you three things this morning about godly mothers. The first one is that a godly mother shows unconditional love to her children. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all, the wise man says there in Proverbs 31. I was blessed to have a mother who feared God and unconditionally loved me. My mother was committed to her family. Thought I could do this. Well, she was committed to her sons, three sons. Dad never made a lot of money. He preached the gospel in a time where he was provided enough for the necessities of life. My dad was highly regarded. He preached a lot. I can remember years where he held 15, 16, 17 meetings a year. But it was a time where brethren really didn't have much regard for a preacher's financial security. There were a lot of places where Dad worked where, you know, they practiced that old adage, Lord, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. You know. He was supposed to trust the Lord for that, and he did. So my mother ran our household truly on a shoestring budget. She would make any sacrifice necessary to provide what was needed. She made clothes. She sought out bargains. She made shirts for me. She made sport coats. Can you imagine doing that, making a sport coat? My brother worked in that industry for many years, and he said their most skilled people were the ones they used to make men's sport coats and men's suits because it took such skill. And so my mother made them. I remember coming home from school. I was a teenager coming home from school one day, and Mom was making a sport coat for me. I told some of you this story, but she was struggling with it, trying to get it to work, and she said, I heard her mumble, she said, boy, this is like having a baby. And that startled me, and I asked her, I said, well, what do you mean? She says, well, you forget from one to the next what you went through. But she made coats that looked just as good as any coat you would buy in the store. But she had to do that. She wanted her sons and her eyes to look nice, have nice clothes. She made a gold pullover corduroy shirt for me, three-quarter sleeves, I remember, that I wore till it was worn out because I loved it so much. She found a store down about 30 miles south of our house when we lived in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, that got all the factory seconds of clothes. And every year before school would start, she'd load us in the car, and we'd go down there, and we'd spend half a day in this store that just had piles of clothes all over the place, factory seconds, finding the ones that looked good and putting that together, and putting together our clothes for the school year at probably a third of what other people were paying. But she would search out the bargains. She would go afar to find those kind of things. That's what she would do. Sacrificing commitment to children, unconditional love, that's what a godly mother does. We need to examine our own hearts. Do you bid your mother the honor that she deserves as you ought? She brought you into this world. You were part of her. She's part of you. She nurtures you. She nourishes you. And you are who you are today to a great extent because of your mother. She deserves to be honored. The awesome truth is my mother unconditionally loved me for 60 years, 10 months, and 26 days. Right up to the moment of her final breath. And there's no greater earthly blessing. But you know the great news for all of us, whatever our situation, is that this love, which is shown by mothers and experienced by sons and daughters, is very close to the unconditional love that God shows to us. That we all receive, even if we've never received that kind of mother's love, we can still know that kind of unconditional love through our Savior. The Bible says in Romans 5 that God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Two verses later, He says, while we were enemies, He died for us. All of us are in rebellion to God before we come to God. And yet He chooses to pour out unconditional love to us upon His children. He is constantly waiting for the prodigal to return, to come back, and welcomes him or her back with open arms because despite their rebellion, despite their ungodliness, and despite His chastisements and corrections of them, He unconditionally loves us. And it is at our mother's knee that we learn this concept of unconditional love. A godly mother models a Savior's love for us because it never fails. Unconditional love. The second thing that we see in a godly mother is that sacrificial life. The wise man said in verse 29 here in Proverbs 31, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. With the rise of feminism, women are being molded into men. Women in our society are taught they need to be more like men, it seems to me, than women. And so they value many times career and secular accomplishments more than they do family. And there's no doubt that that has contributed to the world's highest divorce rate here in this country. And so mothers too often end up spending only a short number of hours with their babies or their children each day. And so they try to make some quality time at the end of the day for an hour or two with their child. The result has been that women who stay at home with their children in our culture have often been belittled and considered inferior because they would make that commitment. But a woman who may sacrifice career and the accolades of the world in order to give herself to the raising of her children may be making the greatest commitment of all. That she sacrifices her own pursuits to the upbringing and the care of her children. And such women need to be honored. It seems to me too many times in our culture today, women are made to feel like they should apologize for being mothers and housewives. The reality is such roles are noble callings from God, and the scriptures certainly picture it that way. I remember an illustration. I went back and found it by a writer who writes, he wrote an amusing story about his wife, who was a homemaker. He served on the faculty of a major university up in the Northeast. And there'd be these gatherings from time to time where he would get together with his colleagues and the wives. They'd all be there, and the wives would be lawyers and all these other things. And so they would ask her, well, what do you do? He said, she had this classic response. She says, well, I am socializing two homo sapiens and the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order and to the teleological prescribed utopia inherent in the eschaton. So when you follow that with, and what do you do, you know, saying, well, I'm a lawyer, didn't sound like that big a deal, you know. Basically, she's saying, I'm raising two boys to be Christians. Mothers who give that kind of dedication to the children are doing an awesome job. Godly mothers will always put the needs of their children before themselves, even to the point of the greatest sacrifice of all. There's a true story that came out of World War II during the Holocaust that, of course, took the lives of millions of people. It's about Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in Nazi concentration camps. It was a labor camp. The rules were simple. As long as you could work, do your work, you lived. If you became sick and weakly, couldn't do your job, your life was over. You were exterminated. Rosenberg watched his father and mother march off to their deaths. And he knew that the next was going to be their youngest child, who was very frail and sickly. David was his name. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor, and he searched for his family members. And when he found them, they'd huddle together, they'd embrace one another, and thank God for one more day of life together. One day he came back, and he didn't see all the familiar faces. He found only his oldest son, Joshua, huddled in a corner, weeping and praying. He said, Josh, tell me it's not true. And Joshua said, it's true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him. He said, well, where's your mother? He said, Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and cried. And Mama said, there's nothing to be afraid of, David. And she took his hand and went with him. Godly mothers are prepared to sacrifice everything for their children. And that's a powerful picture. It's a powerful picture that reflects the sacrifice of our Savior, who was willing to give all for those he loved. There was never a day in my life while I was growing up that I ever doubted that my mother loved me or would be there for me. She was just always there. No matter what happened, how sick I was, how bad I was, or even how stupid I'd been, she was there. God had taught her, and she had also learned it from her mother, to have that kind of sacrifice and commitment in her life. She is modeling the sacrifice of Jesus for us. As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, who being in The very nature of God did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Absolute, complete sacrifice. That's what a mother does. Third thing I would say about godly mothers is they are great teachers. The wise man says here in verse 26, I believe it is, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Susanna Wesley raised 17 children. Two of those were John and Charles Wesley. Some of you may be familiar with them in religious history. But she had rules for training her children. These are really interesting. This would have been from the 1700s. But raising 17 children, here were her rules. Number one, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Number two, teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Number three, give him or her nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Number four, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Number five, commend and reward good behavior. And six, strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. And she successfully raised 17 children. But what she is doing and reflecting in that is that she was committed to teaching those children every day. Who's influencing your children the most? In most homes, it turns out being the mother. That she will spend more hours with the children than the father does. The father shares that responsibility and he should not neglect it. He never should. The Bible teaches that he is involved in the chastening and the admonition of the children, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. He should be leading in that. But the way it works, particularly in our culture, it ends up being mama who is spending most of the hours with their children. And I think the scriptures teach about that role that she plays, again, here in this text. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of the household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she spends that time with the children and with the affairs of the household, trying to follow the pattern that God set forth in giving her their responsibility. Teaching is what mothers must see their role as being. Not just protecting, not just providing, but teaching and guiding and raising them in the chastening and in the admonition of the Lord. When mothers raise their children well, training them in the way that they should go, they give their children roots. Roots that are not compatible with a worldly lifestyle. And sometimes children later become influenced by a worldly lifestyle and that their life, their spiritual things are cut out. But I'll tell you, many times those roots are still there. And so many times I see at some point those children come back because of what was rooted and grounded in them from the very beginning. They finally remember. It's part of what happened to the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. When he finally came to his senses, he came to himself, it says in Luke 15, he remembered his home and he went back. Well, the greatest lesson of all that a godly mother will pass on to her children will be in matters of God and of their own salvation. And I learned so much of that at my mother's knee. We were going through things this past week, and my daughters, interestingly, were pulling out the old Bible story books that Mom read to me And there was a stack of them, all these different ones, and they all wanted some of those. And I could look at those covers, and I could remember those books, and I could remember what was in them because of all those stories being read to me over and over and over again. But it was more than just reading Bible stories at bedtime or during the day at nap time. It was Mom living it out in her life and constantly being aware of where a path I was going down would lead and stepping in when she needed to. I tell you, you can amass all the degrees in the world from all the finest universities, but it all pales in significance if you haven't got the Lord. And my mother understood that. We need to thank our mothers. We buried Mom in what I think is the prettiest cemetery I've ever seen in my life. It's in Boonville, Tennessee. And it shares a wide open field and bales of hay. The rows of hay were in the field last Tuesday. And just across the road is Bartlett Hill. Beautiful steep hill covered with trees and green. It's one of the most beautiful settings I've ever seen. And it was so much easier laying her to rest, knowing who she was and what she had been, and with full confidence of where she is today. And her influence was not only upon her sons, but upon a generation of young people who grew up in those congregations where my dad preached for 60 years. I cannot tell you how many people contacted me, wrote me, spoke to us in different ways, talking about the influence of my mother upon them as a child. What a blessing. Value your role as a mother, young ladies. Value it above all else. And let us value our mothers. Young people, hear me. Children, hear me. Your mother and your dad do love you. They care about who you are and where you are going. Listen to them and hear their instruction day to day. Thank God for godly mothers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the blessing that is seen in the wisdom that you showed in establishing the home and the family, in teaching us as husbands and wives what it means to be godly mothers and fathers, and to help us to see the effect it has upon the world to raise children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. May we always value that role. May we cherish it. May we be willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary in order to raise the next generation to honor you and to be servants of thine and of your fellow man. Thank you for moms. And may they ever be in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take out our song books. Where do you learn the Lord? Most of us learn it from our parents. But wherever you learn about the Lord, you are learning of someone who loves you and loves you more than you could ever know. You are the object of His creation. He is one who wants you more than anything in the world to spend an eternity with Him. But that is impossible if you are not willing to recognize Him as your Lord, submit your life to Him, and come as an obedient child, willing to confess your sins and have them washed away in that watery grave of baptism. Maybe you're here this morning, that's what you need to do in order to establish that relationship with your Heavenly Father. I plead with you to do that. If we can help you with a spiritual need this morning in any way, we'd like to make that known now. Why don't you come forward while we stand and sing for your encouragement.
Do you know, my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Who knows your disappointments? Who hears each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know, my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end?
Please be seated.